So let us hear the word of God. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. Well, I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. For the men are not cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Nope.
Okay.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you, Sharon.
You're welcome.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the promises that we find through all of Scripture. May we hear your word for us this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. All right, so we've been going through passages that I find refreshing or delightful over the summer, and this is one of them that might seem strange, but I got together with a friend this week for tea, and it's not someone I've seen in a long, I haven't seen her in a while, but when we get together, we talk about two things primarily. We talk about our children, because that's what parents tend to do when they get together, and we talk about theology. And she loves to think about faith. She's a very deep thinker, and we have these wonderful conversations. And as we were talking, somehow we got into thinking about times where we have particularly felt loss or pain or difficulty. And we were both saying about how we would never choose those things to happen to us. Those are not the things we pick. But when we look back on those times, we can see the blessings that came out of them, and we can see where God has been with us in those times, even if we didn't feel it at the time we were going through it. But the other thing we were saying, because lots of people go through suffering and don't have that experience. Because one of the things about finding God is it takes a certain intentionality. You have to be looking for God. Now, God can sneak up on us sometimes, but if you're really not open to it, you tend to dismiss those experiences rather than see them for what they are. And what we find in Lamentations is an intentional response to suffering and loss. So Lamentations, probably written by the prophet Jeremiah, although it's not, the author isn't indicated in the book. And we think it took place right after Judah was exiled to Babylon. So after all of these generations of living in the land of promise, Judah has failed in their mission to be the people of God, and God has allowed Babylon to carry them away. And they're feeling deep, deep sadness. And certainly Jeremiah, as somebody who has tried to get the people to turn back to God, and where the people have refused, is feeling this deep sadness. And what's interesting is what he does is he writes poetry. And so what we find in the book of Lamentations is five acrostic poems, where each verse starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, kind of like Psalm 119, except shorter. And then in chapter 3, which is the very middle, you get 3 verses per letter of the alphabet. So it's 3 times as long. And right smack dab in the middle, you get this beautiful picture of hope that we read. This, yes, my soul is downcast, but here is what gives me hope. And I love that in the very middle of this book about lament, about sadness and grief, you find this beautiful picture. This is what Jeremiah builds up to and then moves away from. The whole center of his book is about how good God is. And so I think in this passage, we can find maybe some tools for us, particularly when we're struggling, whether it's in reflection of a hard time or when we're in the middle of it. And so we're going to try and follow along a little bit with what Jeremiah has written here. And really this theme, right, is what is God's character in the face of human suffering? And what should be our response to God when we're in the middle of that? That's what we're being asked in this book. And this is what I think Jeremiah is answering. And so for one of the verses we find, right, verse 22 to 23. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And these verses are the inspiration for the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, which many of us know. But what's really cool, and this is what I love about language. So we hear those words, we hear them in English, and we think, oh, that's lovely. But for those who are hearing it in Hebrew and who know the history of the scriptures, they're actually hearing something else. They're hearing an echo of something that God has said before. So we're going to take ourselves back to when Moses was on Mount Sinai. And he's actually up the mountain for the second time. So the first time he went up the mountain, he got these tablets with the commandments. He was received all this information. He was with God for 40 days. And you may remember, the Israelites started to lose their minds because Moses had been gone for so long. And they said, well, this isn't good. Our leader is gone. Maybe he's never coming back. We need a new God. And they took all of their precious gold and they turned it into a calf and they started worshiping the calf. And Moses came down the mountain and was horrified by what they'd done. And he was so upset, he smashed the tablets that God had given him. Well, now we've got a problem because not only have the Israelites been worshiping some other God, but now they've lost their tablets. But God, being a good God, allows Moses to come back up the mountain, and he gives him new tablets. And while Moses is getting these tablets, this is what God says to Moses in Exodus 34, 5-6. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moses and proclaimed his name, the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow in anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You hear those three words again. Compassion, love, and faithfulness are the same things we hear from Jeremiah in his lament. And Jeremiah does that on purpose. He says, yes, life is hard right now. It's not going to get better for a while, right? Jeremiah's been told 70 years you're going to be in Babylon before you get to go back. It's gonna be a while. This is sad. Jeremiah never denies that. But remember when we failed utterly at Mount Sinai. Remember what God said? I'm compassionate, I'm loving, I'm faithful. Guess what? It's still true. And this is the first thing we can remember when we struggle, is to recall the past, where God has been faithful and where we've understood God's character so that we can remember in our present state. Because sometimes when we struggle, God feels far away. And it's only in remembering those times that we can be reminded of who God is, of God's character. So in the middle of your table, you have a piece of paper that says God was, God is, and God will be. Those have been our responses for our call to worship all Sunday, summer, but they're also the things that Jeremiah invites us to do when we struggle. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back and forth. So I'm going to give you a few moments to discuss at your table some examples of your favorite times where you've seen in the past who God is. It could be a personal story. It could be a story you heard from somebody else. It could be a favorite Bible story of where God has acted. It could be any of those things. And then if you'd like to write down on your own paper what your story is or something else someone says that you think is particularly good, you can. You can write it down. You can draw a picture of it, whatever works for you. So we're going to go back and forth. So we'll start with just the God was, and then I'll bring you back in probably 3 minutes or so. So it's just a short, maybe one or two people can share, unless you're really fast, and then we'll keep going. All right, so take a few moments there to talk about that. All right, I'm going to bring you back to the front. All right. So the first thing Jeremiah did was he remembered the past, right? He remembered the character of God who was. And then he says that reflecting on that past gave him the strength to wait for God. And he doesn't just say it once, but he says it twice, both in verses 24 and 26. He invites people, and then he invites the young man, right, who's carrying this burden, to sit alone in silence as he waits for God, to bury his face in the dust, which is a metaphorical way of saying humble yourself before God. Make yourself open to hearing something that perhaps you're not ready to hear or didn't think. And to offer his cheek to one who would strike him, which might sound familiar if you remember some of the stories of Jesus, who invites people to do that, which is a form of peaceful, passive resistance, right? To say, you will not knock me down, even though you try. These are all ways that Jeremiah invites us to wait for God in the present. So that is our next question. What does it look like for you to wait for God in moments of uncertainty or difficulty? What is something that you do to wait for God? Or what does waiting for God mean for you? And that might be something you haven't thought about a lot before, and that's okay. That's what the discussion is for. So in the God is, what does it mean to wait for God in the middle of our difficulties? So take a few minutes to think about that, and then we'll come back. All right, I will invite you back up to the front. And this time I might just see if anybody wants to share any of their ways that they wait for God. You don't have to, but if there's one you think other people might find helpful. Yes, Rosie.
Music.
Yep. So Rosie was talking about how listening to Christian music sometimes feels like waiting for God, and she finds God in the lyrics. And yeah. Other? Peggy? Right, so waiting is about being able to give over that thing to God and to say, God, you got to figure this out because I can't. Yeah, I talked about how for me it's often about listening. And when I'm looking for an answer for something or I'm not sure where to go, I need to be very intentional about how I listen to the people around me, to the scripture that I'm reading, to what's going on, because God often provides the answer. And we were saying at our table, sometimes it's big things, big ways that God answers, but often it's not. It's little things. A person offering to help at just the right time, or this little burst of sunshine in an otherwise cloudy day. Those little things can be very important. All right. So that is our now in the midst of it. But one of the things that the poet says is the reason why all of this is bearable is because we know it will not last forever, right? He says that people are not cast off by the Lord forever, that he will show compassion. So great is his unfailing love. We have those words again, compassion and love. Faithfulness is kind of implied within it. Waiting is hard, right? It's the least, certainly my least favorite time of anything, right? I used to, when I was in university, I didn't mind studying for exams. I didn't mind taking exams. But that 10 minutes where you're standing outside the exam room, you can't study anymore. You just have to wait for them to open the doors and give you the test was the worst. It was just, for me, it was the worst. This is why patience is a grace given for those of us who are not born with it naturally. Waiting is hard. And there's things we can do in our waiting, but ultimately, one of the ways that we make it through is by knowing it doesn't last forever. By knowing that there is a future promise, whether it comes in this world or whatever comes next, there is a promise from our loving, compassionate, faithful God that things will be better. So, what promise has God made that you look forward to seeing fulfilled? That is your question for your God will be to think about. What promise has God made that you look forward to seeing fulfilled? All right, discuss. All right, I'll bring you back one more time. We were talking about the wonderful promises of, well, I've heard three people now, not entirely independently, talk about God's promise never to flood the earth again as a promise they're happy God's going to fulfill. But I think that's actually a wider, lovelier thing about this world is not meant for destruction. This world is meant for redemption. We forget sometimes in focusing on how we have been saved that Paul actually says that all of creation will be saved through the work of Jesus. And so this idea to me that this world is not meant, despite how things look, despite the wildfires and the hurricanes and the tornadoes and the earthquakes and the war and all of the things that are happening in the world, somehow through Jesus, this world is going to be redeemed. And that ultimate coming together of heaven and earth, of this place where there is no more suffering or pain, where God is everywhere, it's a remarkable promise. And because we know that God is faithful from the past, because we are able to hear God work when we're intentional in our present, we know that those future promises are also reliable, that ultimately whatever comes, it is for good. I was saying, I think maybe even as Jeremiah was writing these poems of lament, he maybe had in his mind the promise God had made to him. For I know the plans I have for you. Right? Plans for a hope and a future. Right? These good things for those who love and trust God. Must have been hard to imagine facing 70 years of living away from home. And yet, it came true. And we can see how God is at work. Remember, my friends, in times when things are hard and when times when things are good, we can be intentional about remembering the God who loves us and who we love, about waiting for God's answers, and about remembering those hopes and promises for the future. God is good, and it is good to be part of God's family. Let us pray. Gracious God, I thank you. I thank you for our time together. I thank you for the way that you have been faithful to your promises in the past, and the way that you continue to be faithful in the present, so that we know that those promises you have made for the future will come to pass. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we know that you are faithful, and so they will come. Help us, God, in good times and in hard ones. to know your goodness, your faithfulness, your love, and your compassion. God, we look around the world and we see evidence of brokenness. We pray for leaders around the world who are making decisions that have a big impact on our world, our safety. We pray for wisdom. We pray for cool heads. We pray for people who desire peace. God, we pray for people in our own community who are struggling, those who are going through difficult medical treatment, going through long-term illness. We pray for your healing hand upon them. Pray for those who are going through change, whether it's moving homes or looking for work or trying to figure out what comes next in their lives. God, we pray for discernment and clarity. I think too of people going back to school soon, whether it's high school or university or elementary school. God, we pray for courage for those who are going somewhere new, for wisdom to make good choices about classes to take and work to do. Pray that they would know your presence, that they would be a light for those who are around them that show your goodness. God, we thank you that you hear the prayers of our hearts as well as those we speak out loud. May we know your presence this week and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.